Welcome to the Creating Us podcast, hosted by the Office of Leader and Culture Development. I'm Jason.
And I'm Shelby.
And we're excited to be with you as we go on a journey across the Texas Tech University system. All right, here we go. Shelby, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm loving this cooler weather. It's so nice. I put on a sweater just for the cooler weather. So I'm ready for fall.
It really has been odd. Like this morning, I took the dogs out and I'm like, wow, I haven't felt this cool air in a long time. It seems like summer really dragged on for us, but
it really did. And so I'm ready.
Wonderful. All right. So we, this is going to be a good one today.
Yeah. We've got a very special guest with us today.
We've got a wonderful, wonderful opportunity here. So what are we doing? Who are we talking to?
So we have the honor to interview President Hawkins from Angelo State University. How are you today, sir?
Well, Shelby, I'm doing great. Thank you for asking it. You talk about this weather, and I will tell you that I woke up early this morning to the rain coming on the roof, and I didn't know what that sounded like anymore.
Yes, it was storming last night at my house, and I was thinking, what is that?
What is that? Yeah.
So, President Hawkins, again, thank you so much for joining us today. We're excited to spend some time with you, and I'm just going to go ahead and dive right in. So our typical start is, what do we want to know, or what should we know about Ronnie Hawkins from Angelo State University?
Yeah, well, Jason, that's a good one. A lot of people have asked that question before, and I will tell you, I don't start out with telling them I'm the president of Angelo State University, that's for sure. But I've been married for 49 years to my high school sweetheart. We were in the 10th grade together, and so I've known her for literally 54 years, and so have three wonderful children and six fantastic grandchildren. So that's Ronnie Hawkins that I like to talk about. I know other people want to know what I've done, and I went into the United States Air Force after having graduated from Angelo State University. I told Maria that we'd only stay 4 years and I'd pay off my college education part of ROTC, and 37 years later we came back home. So I can't tell you I'm a great mathematician, I can tell you that for sure, but the truth be told, it was a fantastic time in the United States Air Force, and I think it's helped me a lot in the job that I'm in right now, which is the president here at Angelo State University. Been here for 3 years, just started the fourth year, ended up starting on August the 17th of 2020. And so here we are, 2023, having done 3 years, 3 year stint, and looking forward to the next 5, 8, 10 years to go.
You know, there are just so many great things that have been happening at ASU, and, you know, growth and positive changes. And we've had really the pleasure of being able to collaborate and partner with ASU and many of our leader development programs as we've been starting and launching them. Our first one was a student program, which was so much fun. And then last week we started our leader program, and, you know, the faculty and staff. And so I'm very new to ASU still. And the more I learn about ASU, and the more that I am hearing the stories and the impact in the community and beyond, I just continuously am so impressed. So tell us a little bit more about Angelo State and your viewpoint, because again, you've had a very long tenure with ASU, from being a student running track and then going into the military. From your viewpoint, what is ASU's role in the community?
That's a good question. I'm not sure what the role is, but I will tell you what I think people see in Angelo State University, and we call it the ASU. We're not Arizona State. We're not Alabama State. We're not Appalachian State. It's Angelo State University, the ASU. Sort of like what you hear people, the football players say, the Ohio State, the University of Miami, the Angelo State University. But I think what people see in it is the want, the desire, and the the ability to be a family. It's the same thing with San Angelo. The reason Maria and I came back after having spent 37 plus years traveling all over, moving 17 times, and we wanted to come back to family. Maria's family's here to begin with. And my family's just down the road, and in Texas, 3 hours is just down the road. And so that's where they're at. And so we wanted to be a part of a family community yet again. And that's what you get in at Angelo State University, as well as San Angelo, Texas, is that family relationship, such that you hear so often here the Ram Fam. Mm-hmm. And people think it's just this slogan that we use to talk about the team of teams, and it's not. It's about the family and the relationships that we build and have and continue to have with each other. I just celebrated Maria and I just celebrated our 50th anniversary from graduating from high school. And again, it's that family relationship that you can come in and talk to somebody you haven't seen in years, and you pick up a conversation like you were just with them last night, went out to dinner last night. You haven't been out to dinner with them in years, but that's the type of Ram Fam that we have here. And I think that's what people see in Angelo State University, to include the individuals that come to look, give us a look over, kick the tires, if you will, before they decide to come here. We believe if we can get you on this campus, we've got a 90% chance of hooking you and bringing you into Angelo State University.
Yeah, you know, everybody that we've talked to so far from Angelo State University is a lot about relationships and the family and the community. And Jason and I were just talking yesterday about how so many of the faculty and staff were there and then they came back to work. You know, they went there, they got their degrees there, and then they work there. And so that's been, you know, just so cool to see. And it's not very often that happens. So there is something special going on at ASU. At the ASU,
you're right, and I will tell you, Shelby, that is so true. And to, I never thought in 1,000 years, let alone 1,000,000, that I'd be sitting here as a president. Never even thought about the possible opportunity, but when it did avail itself, I felt compelled to at least try, to at least try to come back and give back to the very university that gave me where I'm at right now, put me in a spot in a stead that I am right now. And so it is about that relationship that you have with the university. In fact, we just hired our new chief of staff, Ashley Warren, and unbeknownst to me, as she put in her application, but unbeknownst to me, she's an alum of ASU, got her bachelor's and master's degree here, went off for 10 years to Odessa. And I don't know why she went to Odessa, but she did. But she came back. And so she's now here. And she too has relationships from the time that she was here as a student. Mm-hmm. And so it's quite, I don't want to say quite easy, but it's easier for her to break in in this new role as the chief of staff. Because, oh yeah, I know you, or I know your parents, or however that goes, it permeates a lot of what we do here and what we're about.
It is a, I have to validate a statement that you made earlier, is if we can get somebody on campus, we've got a 90% chance of hooking them. The one thing that I've been so amazed at is, with the limited time that I've had to get to know individuals, it makes me think of some of the staff, the key team members, across the university. And okay, sure, in the winter, spring, I was down there and would get to meet individuals who would come and help us and, be able to do that. Well, then I'm gone for a summer.
Yeah.
And I come back and, oh, hey, Jason, how are you? And I'm like, wow. It just really is like, again, we just pick up where we left off. And that says a lot, because you can't fake that. That is very genuine and very sincere.
Well, I will agree with you there. And then that lends itself again to my time in the military. It's the same thing there. You can learn and know somebody when you were second lieutenants, and then don't get back to even talk to them again until you're a full bird colonel and they need something or you need something. And you say, oh yeah, I remember Jason when we were going through basic training together. And that's the last time we've talked to each other, but I can pick up the phone and call now Colonel Jason Weber, and he's going to just respond, or call Shelby Jolly, and she's going to just respond because of that quote unquote relationship that we have.
Yes. I mean, there's just so many ways that we can draw connection. So I want to focus in a little bit more on you and talk about your experiences in leadership, those that have inspired you. Can you tell us a little bit about your influencers and how they've shaped your career?
Yeah, you know, I figured that was going to be one of those questions, and it's going to sound like I'm dropping names here, but I've been fortunate to work around some very high profile and high performing individuals, and I'll start with General Petraeus. And I'm going to walk my way backwards, if you will. And all of these people, their intellect, their capacity and drive for learning is what attracted and attracts me to them. General Colin Powell is another one. Worked with him on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Worked with General Petraeus day in and day out for a year in Iraq, Baghdad, Iraq. He was a 4-star and I was a 1-star at that time. General Colin Powell, I was a major. He was the 4-star, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He gets this thing called Colin's Rules. Well, I've got Ronnie's Rules as a result of having been there and watching what Colin Powell did and why he did those type things. General Hosmer, Bradley Hosmer, he's the number one, the first cadet to graduate from the United States Air Force Academy when it was brought together. And he was the number one cadet to graduate from the United States Air Force Academy. Well, I happened to work for him. I was his executive officer at the Air Force Academy, of which I was never invited to, but I got assigned there. And so when you start getting around people like that, General Dale Myros, an incredible mentor of mine, what you learn from them is their capacity for reading, their capacity for listening, their capacity for being compassionate, yet their capacity for just being driven hard to get the mission done. So influencers, if you want to say it that way, those are those people. But truly, the number one influencer in my life was my father. He grew up in a time of segregation, and he grew up in the Air Force when they were just they had just desegregated the Air Force. I've got a picture of him when he was in basic training, the only African American in his picture, because that was just so few there. Well, that man rose to the highest rank in enlisted force. And as I look back over his life, even though I thought he was a fool when I was growing up, I find how much I live a life like his work ethic was just off the chart. And I know people say, you know, how can you get up so early? How can you stay up so late? How can you do so many things at quote unquote one time? I learned it from my father. He was a perfect role model without even saying it. And so those are the influencers that I would tell you about. And yeah, I have stories on each and every one of them. Most of them good, some of them not so good, but they still influence my life in a way that Ronnie Hawkins is the person that many people see that they think did it on his own. And that's just not true.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit then on your thoughts of the role of mentorship. You know, your life experiences have, you know, they allowed you to be able to learn from these individuals who many of us not connected to the military would have known those names through many other means and maybe develop those perceptions. So you've got your unique experiences with that. How do you create that environment and how do you support that environment of mentorship at the ASU? But you and I have talked a little bit about this, the value of reading. We want to be able to get that in there. But what is your take on that? And how do you really kind of lead the way in that?
Well, you know, one of the ways I, from a reading perspective, I lead the way is in most organizations that I have been a part of, we have a reading club. The seniors, if you will, the senior leaders, and those who want to join, not necessarily the senior leaders, we have a reading club. And in fact, I'm getting ready to start on a monthly basis, even sending something out to the faculty and staff. These are the books I'm reading. I usually read 5 to 6 books at a time and get them all done in a year's time frame, but I'm reading all 5 to 6 at one time. I say at one time, they're all open. The covers are open to them. So, and I'll let people know that. And then I encourage people to tell me the books that they're reading, because oftentimes I'll go and get those. My Kindle is just loaded with books right now as a result of that. And that's been passed on down to my sons as well. Our youngest son, 41 years old, he's a voracious reader. He just devours books. And so mentorship to me and mentoring starts with just living a life that people can model after. And so that's a part of mentorship. But when it really gets down to mentoring people and individuals, the only one that of those individuals that I named was a mentor to me was General Miros. He pulled me aside when I was a young second lieutenant colonel and let me know what it took for me to be a general officer. Well, I'd never even thought about being a general officer when he pulled me aside and started doing those things. And that's when I really got a good taste of a mentor who pulls you aside, takes you up under his or her wing, and starts helping you become the person they believe you can become. And that's what I tend to do as well. There's a lot of people that ask me to mentor them, and I will spend time with them. Don't get me wrong. And I will put into them what I can put into, but there's only a select few that you can truly mentor in a personal way and a professional way to help them. And that too takes time. For me, that not only includes or involves me, but it includes my wife, Maria. She's a part of that mentoring relationship that we have. We say it very affectionately. We have a lot of sons and daughters from the military, and now we're developing a lot of sons and daughters here at Angelo State University because of that mentoring relationship.
Yeah. So what books are you reading?
Yeah. You know, I'd have to pull out my Kindle to let you know that, but the best one that I have right now that I am reading, let me just give me a second because I have so many of them down there. I will pull them up for you and show you real quick what's going on there because there's so many of them that are good. Here's one I'm reading right now, The Man God Uses by Henry Blackaby. And it just starts going on from there. Before Brown, this is a story about the first Black to be admitted into the University of Texas. And that's another one that I've got. Lights Out. This is a great one right here. This is the story, again, of General Electric. How they, I don't want to say fell from grace, but how they had to change who they were and the leadership that had to change as a result of it. And then here's a great one right here, Multipliers. That's one that we're having right now that we're reading here at Angelo State University. So, I can just start rattling them off and they're all open and I'm completing most of those right now that I just talked to you about.
Yeah.
The one on the individual that entered the University of Texas is so intriguing right now, having to do with what we're dealing with at higher education with diversity, equity, and inclusion. And here this young man had to fight to get into the University of Texas, and they fought him tooth and nail trying to keep him out. So it's interesting now, here we are yet once again with something like that going on.
Yes. I may have to come to you and just say, what books are you reading? I'm going to read them.
Well, I would welcome you to do that, Shelby. And I tell you, there's a lot of people that I do that with. But I will tell you, I'll flip that and ask, what books are you reading? And you know, not asking you to tell me right now, but I often do that because mm-hmm. that's how I get to the books that I'm reading right now. And in Heman Sweats, that's the individual with the University of Texas. That man's an inspiration to me from what he had to endure and how he did that.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to ask right now, Shelby, which books are you reading?
Yeah.
Well, Multipliers is on my list of what I need to be reading. I'm working my way through it. It's a great book.
It really is. Yeah. I'll tell you another one that I got for Father's Day is Gen Z Unfiltered. And I got that because of the individuals that I associate with here on this campus. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got 5 to 6 generations of students on the campus. And Jason, you mentioned that in our last leader development that we were doing. And we've got 5 or 6 generations of students. I got 4 generations of teachers, faculty, and none of them teach the same. None of us grew up the same way. You know, I grew up with two telephones in the house, one in my parents' room and one in the kitchen. Nobody had cell phones. And nowadays, everybody has a phone in their pocket. So times are different, and we need to recognize that versus hold it against people because they don't act and look or breathe like us.
Exactly. And it's such a common challenge that I wish it wasn't, where, you know, you have the individual who's been doing what they do for 30 years and you get somebody who's been there for 3 months and this expectation that, well, they should know what I know. And it's like, how? They haven't even been alive that long, right? And so, yes, the power of perspective, I think at that point is so influential. So,
you know, one of the things that comes to mind, here we are on September the 12th, and we've just celebrated the 22nd anniversary of September 11th, 9/11. And we walked up to some people when we were planting flags yesterday that had not even been born during that time frame. They're students here at Angelo State University. Mm-hmm. They somewhat appreciate what we're doing, but they can't even figure out, 22 years later, you're still putting flags in the ground? Yeah. Well, they didn't live through that one day. That day was very, very important to a whole bunch of people. And it still is yet today. And so that's what I'm speaking of. The Gen Zers, the Gen whatever the next letter is that's going to be, they're going to be on this campus. I drive past an elementary school and I watch fathers and mothers walk their kids to school. And I think, someday they're going to be right next door at Angelo State University, the ASU.
Yes.
So President Hoggett, I love where, and by the way, that's continuing, just so you know, every time we're talking about it, that is going to continue. But if, as we kind of wrap up our time, what advice would you give? You know, if somebody is listening and they're saying, you know, I want to grow. I want to do better. What advice would you offer them?
You know, I, as I, again, I'm getting ready to pull up an old movie. It had an individual in it, and I think he reprised the role here of Maverick, and he flew airplanes and he flew them pretty good, as a matter of fact, Tom Cruise. And so I'm going to go back to the first Maverick when he was sitting in the hangar. And I think Goose was looking at him when Maverick was looking around all around. And he said, what are you doing? And Maverick said, I'm looking at who's number two in this class. And while all of us can never always be number one, we ought to set our sights up to where we can be the best that we can be. And so there is one of Ronnie's rules that I have, and it ties in with the military, that says either be outstanding or be out processing. Because if you want to be a part of an organization, you got to be the best at what you do there. That doesn't mean you're number one, but either be outstanding or out process the unit, so somebody else can get in there and do that type of work. And there are too many people that, if you will, just want to get by. And I would rather go first class.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm going to sit up in first class in a plane all the time, but I would rather go first class all the time.
I love that. That is such great advice. And there's a lot that goes with that as well, which is what I love.
Sure.
Shelby, final thoughts.
I just want to thank you, President Hawkins, for getting on here and joining us today. It's been so great to, you know, see you and just hear more about you.
Well, same goes this way. I got to tell you, this is my first podcast with you. I never would have thought I'd be talking for this long on a topic like this. But I appreciate you all as well. Hope you have a great day. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. And President Hawkins, again, it was a pleasure. I look forward to our continued partnership and this journey that we're on to really build the ASU. So I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of the Creating Us podcast. If you have any comments or questions, please let me know at jason.weber@ttu.edu. Until next time, I'm Jason.
And I'm Shelby.
Take care.